roll call vote to table a motion to reconsider the vote. Now, if they lose the motion to table, senators will vote on the motion to reconsider, and if that wins, senators go through the whole roll call all over again. This was because it was such a tight vote. The Gravel camp had figured the vote would be two or three votes apart, but it was closer. And the Gravel amendment is not yet concrete. Once again, it has passed the Senate 49-48, just minutes ago. But Senator Gravel's office said the senators are at the moment considering voting on a roll call vote to table a motion to reconsider the vote. And if they lose the motion to table, senators will vote on the motion to reconsider. And if that wins, senators go through the entire roll call all over again. So that's the status right now on the amendment to the Trans-Alaska Pipeline legislation right now in the United States Senate. First Federal time, 7:01. First Federal downtown temperature now stands at 53 degrees.
That was radio station KFRB in Fairbanks, Alaska at 7, little after 7, July 17th, I guess it is today, July 17th, 1973.
The most hotly contested project of the decade. We'll hear about it from Bruce Morton. The Senate is expected to give the Trans-Alaska Pipeline a green light today, though the intensity of the green is still in doubt. The basic bill they're debating simply removes some legal obstacles. The courts have ruled that the right-of-way needed for this project was wider than existing law allowed, so the remedy was a new law, and this is it. An earlier effort to amend this bill in favor of a pipeline route across Canada failed. The present version of the bill clears the way for the Alaskan pipeline. That's the one that runs across Alaska with the oil then coming to the U.S. by tanker. Though the bill does authorize exploration toward a Canadian route for a second pipeline later on. The bill sponsors say the key argument was the energy crisis, the need to get the oil flowing, and the fact that preparations for the Alaskan route are further along. Still to be voted on today, an amendment which would declare that plans for the Alaskan route are in compliance with environmental standards. But the bill itself, okaying the right-of-way, seems certain to pass. The final vote is due around noon. Bruce Morton, CBS News, Washington.
And more details on that in just one moment. The Senate has voted on that Stevens-Gravel amendment. The vote was 49-48, carrying the amendment. Then there was a vote to table it. That vote, we just received word, has been a tie vote, 49-49, with Vice President Agnew casting the deciding vote and voting to table it. So the bill holds at 49-48, the amendment on the Jackson bill from Senator Stevens and Gravel has passed the United States Senate. The Senate will very shortly be voting on the actual Jackson bill itself, the bill waiving the right-of-way restrictions on construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. More details as they become available.
Trans-Alaska Pipeline and subsequent tanker route facilities would be the biggest and most expensive construction project ever undertaken anywhere. If and when it becomes operational, Whitaker says, it would create as many as 100,000 new jobs, and it would begin to ease the energy crisis within the next 4 years.
Today is July 17th, and this radio reporting you just heard was the morning news, CBS Morning News, or KFRB Radio, Fairbanks, Alaska. We'll continue to tape excerpts of news broadcasts today, just picking up items on the Alaska Pipeline vote as it goes through the United States Senate.
The Senate has just voted 49-48 in favor of the Gravel Amendment to have immediate start for the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. There was a notice of reconsideration on the vote to table the amendment, Gravel Amendment. That vote was taken with the 49 voting for tabling and 48 senators voting against it. Vice President Agnew cast his vote to tie the amendment at 49-49 to table the amendment, effectively stopping tabling of the Gravel Amendment. We are still waiting word on the final status of the Gravel Amendment to have an immediate start to the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Once again, the Senate voted 49-48 in favor of the Gravel Amendment to have an immediate start
to the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. There was a notice of reconsideration. The vote on that reconsideration of to table the Gravel Amendment, that vote was 49 in favor of tabling, 48 against. Vice President Agnew voted in that vote to tie the vote at 49 each, effectively stopping the tabling of the Gravel Amendment.
There was another bulletin on about 10 minutes after 7, July 17, 1973. That was radio station KFAR in Fairbanks.
The Gravel-Stevens Amendment to the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Bill has cleared the U.S. Senate by a vote of 49 to 48. The move to block that tight vote was broken minutes ago when senators tabled a motion to reconsider the vote. The vote on the motion to table was 49 to 49, a tie vote, with Vice President Agnew breaking the tie and tabling the motion. The report came to us from U.S. Senator Mike Gravel's office in the nation's capital. The Gravel-Stevens Amendment finds all standards of the Environmental Policy Act to have been met and call for no further environmental delays on the pipeline. Sierra Club officials, meanwhile, have predicted that any attempt to remove the Trans-Alaska Pipeline from environmental laws will spark renewed court battles over the project. The club executive director said the Gravel-Stevens Amendment is so broad as to make a court review likely. Once again, the Stevens-Gravel Amendment to the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Bill has cleared the U.S. Senate by a vote of 49 to 48.
That last newscast we just heard was KFRB, radio station KFRB in Fairbanks again.
With Maury Smith. Brought to you daily by Frontier Sporting Goods, Faulkner Aircraft Service, and Amfac Supply.
The United States Senate has approved an amendment designed to kill court action blocking construction of the Alaska Oil Pipeline. The Stevens-Gravel Amendment passed by a vote of 49 to 48, despite intensive lobbying from environmental organizations opposed to the pipeline. A reconsideration threw it into a tabling motion that won a 49 to 48 vote to table it. However, Vice President Agnew tied this motion with his vote, thereby defeating the reconsideration. The vote clears the way for passage of the Alaska Pipeline Bill designed to speed development of the North Slope oil fields. This is part of the Jackson Bill to widen the right-of-way for pipelines throughout the nation, and that bill is expected to have no problem passing the entire Senate today. Now, however, it may face a court test. That is the amendment that was passed today. Last evening, KFAR newsman Mark Schellinger had this report.
A spokesman for the Sierra Club says that the Stevens-Gravel Pipeline Amendment is a poor piece of legislation and that a court review is likely. Rock Evans, executive director of the Sierra Club's Washington office, told KFAR News Today in a special interview that he has instructed attorneys to examine that legislation. The Stevens-Gravel Amendment would remove judicial review of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, thus sidestepping the environmental issues of the project in the courts. The amendment is to a bill sponsored by Senator Henry Jackson of Washington, removing the 1920s Mineral Leasing Act roadblock on pipeline width. Evans said today of the Stevens-Gravel Amendment,
"I would say that the language of the Stevens-Gravel Amendment is so sweeping and broad and therefore may be vague in some of its implications that a court review is probably very likely. But we have not authorized any of that yet. We're just asking our lawyers for their opinion about what they think of it."
Evans explains why the Sierra Club opposes that amendment.
Well, as we see it, about 3 years ago, after quite a bit of discussion and debate, Congress set up a procedure known as the National Environmental Policy Act for a careful weighing and evaluating of all the environmental concerns and all the alternatives. Now we have a special economic interest, the oil interest, coming in and for their own reasons seeking to override that and putting pressure on Congress to override it. But what we're concerned with goes beyond the merits of the pipeline issue here per se. It goes to the whole question of whether Congress is going to overrule its own procedures in the past. And what we think is that if this succeeds, it may encourage other special economic interests to come in and try to override it for their own purposes, too. The coal interests, for example, down here that want to strip mine and pollute the air in the lower 48 states are also reported to be interested in doing this. So for the timber interests and so on. So we are concerned about the kind of precedent that's set if it is legal.
Evans also says that the vote on the Stevens-Gravel amendment should be very close. He says that if the amendment fails, the Senate will probably vote strongly in favor of the Jackson bill. However, he says that if the amendment does clear the Senate, it will face a tougher battle in the House, where, according to Evans, there are more environmentally oriented people. This is Mark Schellinger reporting for KFAR News.
Planning Commission remained deadlocked yesterday over proposals to preserve an area twice as large as Yellowstone National Park or advocate mineral development in the Central Brooks Range. The commission postponed until today a vote on the alternatives by members Celia Hunter and Charles Herbert, a compromise as likely as the commission struggled over final recommendations on the use of 80 million acres of national forest or national interest land in Alaska. The chairman of the Golden Days Committee of the Chamber of Commerce has resigned. Chuck Weingarten told the chamber board yesterday through a letter that he resigned his position the 22nd of the month, the last day of this year's Golden Days celebration. KFAR News contacted Weingarten, asked him why.
Well, it's like I stated in the letter, I did it with regret.
Yeah.
It's just that I've been working on Golden Days and Fur Rendezvous before for quite a few years, and it's just time to have a rest. I really hate to do it, but it's time for a rest.
Chuck and Lois Hall and their son, 16-year-old Ronnie, leave Thursday to make their home in Ashland, Oregon. Mrs. Hall, born in Fairbanks, the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Lou Hall, has never lived outside of Alaska, and it's been a while for her husband. It will be the first time out for Ron. Hall came to Fairbanks in 1945 out of the service, worked for the Northern Commercial Company. The Halls will travel south in a van, a motorhome. Their daughter, Joella, a meter maid here in Fairbanks, will remain in the city.
A water song.
The Jackson bill to widen the rights-of-way for pipelines throughout the nation has passed the Senate, and that bill was amended to include the Stevens-Gravel Amendment. That is, it was amended to include the Alaska pipeline, which would clear the pipeline for construction without the necessity of going through the Environmental Policy Act or further court action on those grounds. Now, the whole bill has passed the Senate, and then will go over to the House for consideration, where it is expected it may have a little tougher battle. The vote on the amendment this morning was 49-48, the Stevens-Gravel Amendment, 49-48, a very close one. Motion to reconsider was tabled on a tie vote, effectively killing the motion to reconsider that 49-48 vote. But it has cleared the Senate now for the pipeline construction to issue the necessary permits and so on, if it passes the House and is signed by the President, to go ahead with the pipeline without further environmental considerations.
This last broadcast you were just listening to was the hometown reporter, KFAR Radio in Fairbanks, July 17th. The reporter is Maury Smith, longtime news reporter for KFAR.
They finish mowing the lawn, but it's really frustrating to realize that by the time you hand trim the edges, it's almost time to start mowing again. Hi, Pat Summerall here for True Value Hardware Stores. They've got two ways to help break that vicious circle. The first is a Diston cordless electric grass shears with non-stick blades for quick, easy cutting under fences and around trees. The second is another Diston cordless electric grass shears, this one with a stand-up handle and wheels. That virtually eliminates bending and stooping. Both come with rechargeable long-life batteries and plug-in recharger unit. True Value Hardware Stores have the Diston cordless electric grass shears for just $14.88. The shears with stand-up handle for $26.88. Stand back and enjoy your lawn this summer. Get Diston cordless electric grass shears at the participating True Value Hardware Store near your home. Check the yellow pages.
The Senate took the side of the oil interests against the environmentalists today and voted 77-20 to grant a right-of-way for a Trans-Alaskan oil pipeline. Bruce Morton reports.
O'Neill of Minnesota complained the State Department had tried to mislead Congress over the Canadian route, but the Alaskan route won, and so did an amendment by Stevens and Gravel of Alaska declaring the planned route has met the standards of the National Environmental Policy Act. Environmentalists have sued to block the pipeline on the ground that it hasn't. The Alaskans' pro-pipeline amendment carried by one vote. Opponents tried to reconsider, and on a move to table that, the Senate deadlocked 49-49. Vice President Agnew cast his first ever tie-breaking vote for the pipeline. The bill's floor manager, Jackson of Washington, had opposed that amendment.
I personally feel very deeply that in the need for timely action, that we still must not run roughshod over the environmental requirements.
Jackson said the amendment would breed more lawsuits than it blocked, and said unless construction starts by next spring, he'll move to have the federal government build the pipeline. Bruce Morton, CBS News, Washington.
The Federal Trade Commission accused the nation's eight largest oil companies today of monopolizing refining and marketing operations and causing the gasoline shortage. The accusations are part of an antitrust complaint. The FTC doesn't say what it wants the oil companies to do, but it wants the situation corrected. The UAW talked contract with the Ford Motor Company today. Ford said there can be a contract without a strike if the problems are, in fact, real and important. We'll have the Wall Street Report in a moment.
You know, what we call acid indigestion isn't always all acid. Sometimes it's accompanied by gas, too. Say that acids alone can work on the half of it, the excess acid. Digel does more, because Digel contains patented thimethicone to relieve your distressing gas, while soothing ad acids neutralize your excess acid. And acids alone can't do what Digel can. Next time you get acid indigestion, get Digel. It's two kinds of medicine for two kinds of relief.
I can always tell when I'm getting sunburned.
It's too groggy to get a burn.
You just heard two people getting overdone by the sun. Tonight they'll need Solarcane, America's number one relief for sunburn pain. Solarcane is specially formulated to relieve the pain and itching of sunburned skin fast. So when you're overdone by the sun, relieve sunburn pain fast with soothing, cooling Solarcane.
Stocks a little higher on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 898, up about a half point. The average price per share was up 9 cents on the New York Exchange.
The head of the Atomic Energy Commission was delayed in going to Amchitka Island today. Two Fairbanks men have been killed in a plane crash, and another man died while doing some roofing work on his home. And Golden Days continues in full swing in Fairbanks. Good afternoon, this is Ted Lane reporting Broadcast Center News at 5:15. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline moved closer to the start of construction in 2 hours today than it had in the last 2 years. In fact, today's actions in Washington, D.C., were about the only good news pro-pipeline people have heard in quite some time. Within 2 hours today, the Senate passed the Jackson bill to authorize rights-of-way wide enough to build the line. The Senate adopted an amendment to declare that the project has met environmental standards, and the House Interior Subcommittee on Public Lands reported out a similar bill, to the full committee for a vote tomorrow. Broadcast Center News, Washington, D.C., special correspondent George Bullock has a complete rundown on the day's events.
The United States Senate today overwhelmingly passed the so-called Alaska Pipeline Bill. The vote was 77-20 with one senator answering present. The outcome was a foregone conclusion, but its size was a surprise. Last week, the Senate defeated the Mondale Bay Amendment, which would have permitted the study of an alternate route through Canada carrying oil to the Midwest. That vote was 61-29, and it was anticipated that a similar result would occur here. But the extreme environmentalist forces could only muster 20 votes in the final showdown while losing 18 more to proponents of the Alaska pipeline. But today's story is far more than just the initial Senate passage of the bill. Rather, it is in the surprise passage of the Stevens-Gravel Amendment, which will allow the Department of Interior to issue immediately construction permits and bars further court action on environmental lawsuits. There was a formidable opposition to this approach led by environmental groups, liberal senators, and the New York Times. Today, the Washington Post editorially blasted the Stevens-Gravel Amendment. But the foremost opponent in Senate debate was Scoop Jackson of Washington, who did not want to see the environmental protection laws set aside in this case, even though he fervently fought for the Alaskan pipeline. Jackson's prestigious opposition had apparently turned the tide against the Stevens-Gravel Amendment, but the two Alaskan senators led the way in debate on behalf of their amendment. The call of the roll was dramatic because it quickly appeared there would be a close vote. A ripple went through the gallery as Vice President Agnew appeared to sit in the chair as President of the Senate, anticipating a razor-thin margin. A number of senators were keeping tally, and when the vote was finally and officially announced, 49 in favor of the Stevens-Gravel Amendment and 48 against, there were audible sighs and groans from the floor and galleries, which included included Governor Egan, other state officials, and oil company executives. Then came a motion to reconsider and then to table, which would have overturned the vote. The call of the roll again began, and it was immediately obvious that it was again dramatically close. This time, one more senator showed up, and the outcome was a flat-footed tie, 49-49. Vice President Agnew, who announced the vote, then cast his eye, and the motion to table was defeated, so the Stevens-Gravel Amendment was passed. The Senate then proceeded to turn down a last-minute Stevens Amendment, expediting the resolvement of any potential adverse court actions against the construction starting on the pipeline. The burden of proof is now shifting to the House of Representatives, where Alaska's lone representative, Don Young, is carrying a heavy burden. If his long, diligent labors are any indication, then he should be able to pry action out of the House. There does appear to be great support for Young's position to get an Alaskan pipeline bill out. He was enthused today by the action of his Public Lands Subcommittee and the House Interior Committee when they turned down three amendments, 12-4, 10-6, and 13-3, which were more or less what Senators Bayh and Mondale fought for last week in the Senate. Then this afternoon, the subcommittee reported the bill out, 13-3, so action is imminent in the full committee. Congressman Young is confident that he can get the Alaska Pipeline bill for consideration to the full House Interior Committee tomorrow or the next day with a vote by the full House before the end of July. Alaskans down here who are in favor of the Alaskan pipeline are genuinely enthused, and with all the success here in the halls of Congress today, they have good reason to be, for it has been a long, hard struggle to date. That fight is not over yet, however. This is George Bullock here in the nation's capital for Broadcast Center News.
The issue is far from settled. Next, the House must pass a bill similar to the one adopted today by the Senate. Then, in all likelihood, a conference committee will be appointed to iron out differences. The resulting measure must be adopted by both chambers, and then the measure signed by President Nixon. Then the congressional action faces a possible court challenge. In spite of this, at least one government official was optimistic. Undersecretary of the Interior John Whitaker told newsmen at Seattle today he expected the pipeline project to be underway within 6 months. Calling approval of the amendments a precedent of frustrations, Whitaker said that barring congressional foot-dragging, the greatest roadblock before the 789-mile hot oil pipeline would be negotiations of environmental stipulations contracts with the Alaska Pipeline Service Company. Whitaker said he believed the 6-month timetable would be met because of a 13-3 House subcommittee vote supporting an amendment similar to the approval of the Senate. But not everyone agrees. A Seattle conservationist reacted angrily today to the Senate vote to authorize an extended right-of-way for the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. The Northwest representative for Friends of the Earth, Dale Jones, said he was angry and bitter about the whole thing. Jones said in these words, "It seems to me that once again the Senate of the United States has collapsed before the selfish lobbying of the oil industry." Environmentalists contend the pipeline could be a disaster to Alaska's wilderness areas, fisheries, and wildlife. Jones was especially critical of the amendment proposed by Alaska Senator Mike Gravel and passed by one vote. That amendment prohibits any further court review of the pipeline. Jones said it was significant that the tie-breaking vote was cast by Vice President Spiro Agnew. He called Agnew a member of the administration that has very close ties with the American petroleum industry. Alaska's political leaders all issued statements following today's Senate action on the pipeline. Senators Mike Gravel and Ted Stevens, who marshaled the bill through the Senate, were elated. Both credited the vote to the current fuel shortage and the deficit in the national balance of payments. Governor William Egan, in Washington for the vote, described the scene as one of jubilation for Alaskans and their friends in the galleries. Egan credited Senator Henry Jackson of Washington for the overall pipeline bill, although Jackson opposed the Gravel-Stevens amendment. Other reaction came from former Governor Walter Hickel. He called the vote a milestone in the relationship of government and industry working together. Congressman Don Young, who now must work for similar legislation in the House, had these comments.
"Tomorrow, the House bill, which follows along the lines of the legislation I introduced in April, will go before the full Interior Committee. I'm certain that I have enough votes to approve the legislation there. But the big battle, and I'm sure there will be one, will come on the floor of the House. And to help me help Alaska, I would like to urge Alaskans to write their friends outside and urge them to write their congressman in support of the Alaskan pipeline. The battle lines have been drawn. Senator Stevens and Senator Gravel got the pipeline through by one vote. Now it's up to me. Where the two of them had to convince only 47 senators, I have to make certain at least 225 congressmen are voting for Alaskan and for our pipeline."
Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau should go to the U.S. to press Canada's objections to a Trans-Alaska pipeline and resultant tanker shipments of Alaska oil down the West Coast, Premier Dave Barrett of British Columbia said today. He was commenting on a U.S. Senate vote, 49-48, exempting construction of the line from provisions of the U.S. National Environment Protection Act and from judicial review. Barrett said now is the time for the Prime Minister of this country to make a direct appeal to Washington by going to the United States and speaking to the concerned members in both the House of Representatives and the Senate. He said, I do believe that because the vote was so close, that a direct appeal by the Prime Minister of this country, which is a friendly neighbor of the United States, would have the kind of dramatic impact necessary to change that political decision. Barrett said he thinks Canadians have been discreet and responsible in terms of their observation of the U.S. political process, but he said it's reached the point now where one neighbor must go to the house of the other neighbor and suggest to him that he's going to do something in his garden that will affect this country. He said nothing short of good neighbor relations between Canada and the U.S. is at stake on the issue because the West Coast tanker route will spell eventual disaster for some section of Canada's West Coast. U.S. Senate action on the Trans-Alaska pipeline today has caused somewhat of a flurry in the market over Alaskan stocks. Broadcast Center News reporter Margie Bauman asked Vice President Roger Hughes of Foster and Marshall how the Senate action affected Alaskan stocks.
Okay, generally people would be surprised, but most of the Alaskan issues today are on the downside. The value of their stocks declined in today's market from the close yesterday.
Had people been expecting this, one would assume that they'd be going up.
Okay, right. It's my opinion that that the reason this is that there's been a lot of psychological movements in these prices of these stocks in the last few weeks. People have anticipated that this Senate action would happen and it would go up, and they could have bought these stocks about 30% lower in the last month than they are today. And they're taking some of their profits that they can realize over this past month. And this is the reason. It's a psychological situation.
Can you give us some examples on some key Alaskan stocks, where they started and where they ended today?
Okay, well, some of the stocks, just to mention a few names. We have Alaska Airlines, of course, Wing Air Alaska, the old Wing Consolidated, Rowan Companies, Alaska Interstate, Williams Companies. These are stocks that are going to be very closely involved with the pipeline. Some of the particular numbers, for instance, Alaska Interstate, today opened at 33.5. It hit a low during the day of 30.5, so there's a 3-point variance between the high and the low. For the day, and it closed at 31.58, so it was down about 2 points from its opening price.
Is that about the average for Alaskan stocks? Are they all down about 2 points?
Well, on a percentage basis, I'd say it's about right, but if you take Wing Consolidated, for instance, it's trading in the $6 bracket, $6 or $7 bracket. It isn't down 2 points, but roughly the same percentage. It was down a half a point for the day.
Pipeline project may get underway within 6 months. Undersecretary John C. Whitaker told a news conference in Seattle he is confident the House will concur with the Senate vote declaring that environmental preparation for the line is legally sufficient. He referred to passage by the Senate today of the bill authorizing construction of the Trans-Alaska pipeline to succeed. Whitaker said that unless there is a congressional foot-dragging, the greatest roadblock remaining to construction of the 89 or 789-mile hot oil pipeline would be negotiations of environmental stipulations, contracts with Alaska Pipeline Service Company. Alaska is a consortium that is going to handle it. Whitaker said he believed the 6 months timetable would be met because of a 13-3 House subcommittee vote supporting an amendment similar to that approved by the Senate. Whitaker called the Canadian pipeline proposal a fantasy land alternative. He said congressional approval of immediate construction was only what he called a precedent of frustrations and not a mandate for government to solve other environmental roadblocks legislatively. Whitaker was in Seattle for a national conference on development of oceans. A statement distributed at Whitaker's press conference by the Sierra Club called the Senate vote the result of the energy industry's arrogant, heavy-handed energy crisis scare tactics. And Oregon Congressman John Dellenbach said today that he will offer amendments to the Alaska Pipeline Bill in the House to provide for more control over environmental factors involved in the proposed project. The Senate passed the measure 72-22 today. The House measure goes up for action before the Interior Committee tomorrow. Within hours of the Senate vote, the House Public Land Subcommittee approved the pipeline measure, also calling for immediate construction by granting a right-of-way and eliminating the court challenge of environmentalists. Dellenbach is a member of the Public Land Subcommittee. He said he would propose an amendment which would guarantee that the Alaska Pipeline would not be exempted from application of the full protective provisions of the National Environmental Policy Act of 1969. Well, Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau should go to the United States to press Canada's objections to a Trans-Alaska Pipeline and resultant tanker shipments of oil down the West Coast, Premier Dave Barrett of British Columbia said today. He was commenting on the United States Senate vote 49-48 this morning, exempting construction of the line from provisions of the United States National Environmental Protection Act from judicial review. KFAR News contacted News Radio in Victoria, British Columbia for this report.
Bennett says he will be sending a telegraph to Prime Minister Trudeau asking him to speak to concerned members on both sides of the fence in both the Senate and the House of Representatives. He asked, I do believe, because the vote was so close, that a direct appeal by the Prime Minister of this country, which is a friendly neighbor of the United States, would have the kind of dramatic impact necessary to change that political decision. Now is the time for the Prime Minister to act directly. There is no such an appeal could possibly have an effect on Vice President Spiro Agnew's decision, which broke a tie vote. And he says that because the situation is so evenly divided, all kinds of possibilities are left open. Ross Hicks, News Radio, Victoria.
United States Senator Ted Stevens, who co-authored the pipeline amendment, assessed today's action in the Senate. Stevens. Stevens goes on to explain what that amendment does.
This amendment, co-sponsored by myself and Senator Gravel, declares the environmental impact statement satisfactory under the National Environmental Policy Act and prohibits the courts from further reviewing the Trans-Alaska Pipeline issue. This is the first concrete step taken to get the pipeline moving and the nation's critical energy shortage solved.
Senator Stevens feels that the measure to build the Trans-Alaska Pipeline that passed the Senate today will probably go to court. Stevens answered KFAR's question about possible litigation.
The amendment that the Senate adopted today, which I feel the House will also adopt, really establishes a new procedure, and that is a congressional finding of fact that the Alaska Pipeline should proceed and the Secretary of Interior should issue the permits to allow the pipeline construction to cross federal land. This action closed the courts, that is, it prohibited judicial review of the congressional finding of fact. It is apparent to us that although the extreme environmentalist groups have been claiming that the Congress should make the decision, since they felt that the Congress would choose the Canadian route, which would involve substantial delay in the future, that would be in their best interest. Now that Congress has not decided in favor of the Canadian route, but has twice decided now in this bill in favor of the Alaska route as being the preferable route and directing the Secretary to issue the permit, we feel that the extreme environmentalists may well challenge the constitutionality of what the Congress is about to do. If it does that, if they do that, this case will go to court. I tried to get an amendment adopted which would create a special three-judge court and set a period of time of 60 days within which this challenge would have to be raised with a direct appeal to the Supreme Court, but the Senate would not go along with that. That is a rather unique approach, and even it would raise another constitutional issue, but it would be constitutional in my opinion. But Morty, there's no question that we anticipate that a court attack against the constitutionality of this act if it's passed in the form that the Senate passed the amendment today. And the time frame involved in that is one that's hard to predict. The suit is brought in the near future, and it would have to be brought in very near future, because undoubtedly the Secretary of Interior would proceed to comply with this act of Congress. It is possible that the case could be heard and go through the Court of Appeals in 9 months to a year, but without some action on the House along the lines that I suggested to shorten that time frame, that's the earliest time frame that I could suggest. And without the amendment, the litigation would have taken 2 years or more. So we have shortened the time of judicial review, but we've not eliminated it entirely.
United States Senator Mike Gravel was pleased and feels that the House will go along with the Senate in the granting of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. He said he hopes that the bill will come before the House in August, but it might be September. Gravel says of the amendment,
"This means that the Senate has gone the entire distance and approved the most far-reaching legislation possible to get the Alaska Pipeline built. The vote was produced by a number of factors. The energy crisis and the problem with balance of payments was very high in everybody's mind. This made senators ripe for persuasion to our point of view. When I first started lobbying my colleagues a month ago on my amendment, I was pleased that they began to realize the importance of this matter. Another factor was the amendment provided a choice to senators who felt that the matter had been delayed long enough already. They were not interested in further delay and rejected the Mondale Amendment requiring further study by an overwhelming margin. They want to bring Alaska oil online and saw that my amendment would do so faster than anything else. A third factor is the help we had in lobbying the Senate from Alaskans. Governor Egan and the representatives from the Native community were of tremendous help in firming up support. Also, the lion's share of the credit goes to the May Alaskans who traveled abroad in the South 48 selling the Alaska, but the merits of the Alaska pipeline, which helped meld the public opinion, which permitted us to work so effectively on the senators who were affected by this public opinion. Now we must wait for action in the House of Representatives. The vote there may come this month, or it may be put off until September. I hope that it will be taken up this August. I think we can look for a final action along the same lines as the Senate action today. When signed into law, this bill will provide the final go-ahead for the Alaska pipeline. This is a historic day for Alaska. We have waited years for this action."
A Seattle conservationist reacted angrily today to the Senate vote. The Northwest representative for Friends of the Earth, Dale Jones, said he was angry and bitter about the whole thing. Jones said in these words, "It seems to me that once again the Senate of the United States has collapsed before the selfish lobbying of the oil industry." Well, after the House committee vote on similar pipeline legislation today, Congressman Don Young asked for help from Alaskans.
"That one vote margin means that all the environmental pressure groups will begin concentrating their efforts here in the House, where I expect we will vote on the pipeline in the next 2 weeks. To get the pipeline started, Alaska needs another great day like today, a day in which the House votes to approve our pipeline bill, which was approved finally by a vote of 13-3 in the Public Lands Subcommittee. Tomorrow, the House bill, which follows along the lines of the legislation I introduced in April, will go before the full Interior Committee. I'm certain that I'll have enough votes to approve the legislation there. But the big battle, and I'm sure there will be one, will come on the floor of the House. And to help me help Alaska, I would like to urge Alaskans to write to their friends outside and urge them to write to their congressmen in support of our Alaskan pipeline. The battle lines have been drawn. Senator Stevens and Senator Gravel got the pipeline through by one vote. Now it's up to me. Where two of them had to convince only 47 senators, I have to make certain at least 225 congressmen are voting for Alaska and for our pipeline."
So to this evening, William Carney of Fairbanks fell this morning from his roof, landed on his head, and apparently died on impact.
I think